Hi, this is Anita Hummel from the Dusty Roads podcast about living life as a global citizen. I spent over 30 years of my life living and working in mainly Asia. So if you're looking for some inside information about what it means to be a global citizen, you are in the right place. Hi, this is Anita from Dusty Roads. This is episode number 4. Today we're going to talk a bit about what is a local employment contract versus an expat employment contract. Let's say you want to go live and work overseas, and someone says to you, sure, we'll hire you under a local contract. What exactly does that mean? Or if they say, we're going to hire you as an expat, what does that mean? What's the difference between the two? This is something which can be a little bit confusing for people who are maybe going to go overseas for the first time. A local contract usually refers to a foreigner who's been hired to work for a company while they were living, working, or visiting overseas. In other words, a foreigner applies for a job and they receive it. A local hire can be considered an expat, or they could just be considered a local hire. Usually when a company will hire someone overseas, they will handle your work permits, your residency, and anything that's required for you and your family to be able to legally live and work in the country where you're hired. Here's a few things about a local contract that you should understand. First of all, the employment laws. The local contract could state that you are under the employment laws of the country where you're hired. But even if you're under those employment laws, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get the benefits of those laws. Let me give you an example. China has a very tough employment law, which favors the employees versus the employer. If you fire a Chinese worker, you must pay them 1 month for every year they have worked for you. So if you fire someone who's worked for you for, say, 12 years, you must pay them 1 year's salary. But if you are hired as an expat or a foreigner, there's a very good chance that if you worked for a company for 12 years, and then after 12 years, they fired you while you were working for them in China, that you would get the same consideration as their Chinese employees. This is because an expat, even if you're under the local laws, could be looked upon differently than a citizen of the country where you are living and working. As an expat, usually your salary is paid in a local bank, or some companies may agree to pay you in an overseas bank account. You may need to pay double tax. And some countries have what's called a double taxation policy, where they will say that if you pay tax in one country, you don't need to pay tax in another country. If you are American, you are in bad luck because America has no such agreement at all. So some companies understanding this may help you pay your local tax and not your U.S. tax, or your U.S. tax versus your local tax. Many local insurance contracts will include health and other insurance for you and your family. In some places where the medical care might be free or there might be very good local care, they may not include no insurance at all. For example, when I lived and worked in Hong Kong, insurance wasn't included because Hong Kong had free medical for all residents. But you were able to get a supplemental insurance policy for medical. An expat employment contract is a little bit different because an expat is usually someone who has maybe worked in America, maybe they've worked for the company, and then the company might say to them, hey, we want to move you and your family overseas to go live in China for 5 years. And so in that instance, the expat is negotiating everything in the United States for what they will need in China. Sometimes, you know, an expat contract may be for someone who's already living and working in that country. And, you know, essentially somebody poaches an expat from another company to have them come work for them. So an expat contract can be a little bit different, but it usually, again, includes the employment laws. A lot of times will be in the home country, which will be the country from where you were originally hired. So in other words, if you are American, you would be subject to the American employment laws. You would still have a contract with the parent company, but you would be living and working overseas for them. The salary, they may pay you in the U.S. bank account, which they will probably do, or they may pay you some in your foreign bank account and some in your U.S. bank account. Taxes for a lot of expats, especially if you're going to live and work overseas for a company, will help you out with your taxation. Most expat packages also have a home leave. And this will include usually a flight home for you and for your family. If you're really in a hardship post or a post that they consider to be extremely hardship, they may give this to you a couple times a year. School fees can be very costly overseas for international schools. In fact, somebody once told me it costs more money to educate my kindergartner than it did for me to send my oldest child to college. School fees are exorbitant. And because of that, in most expat packages or expat contracts, the school fees for the children are included. Housing is usually also included. And this could be anywhere from a package for them to say, we will pay X amount of dollars to, we are going to give you a mansion with a swimming pool. Some expat packages also include a car and driver. And this would be especially true that if you are an expat who, say, is working for a company that needs to go out to a factory a lot, or you need to go out of town a lot, they will usually provide you with a car and a driver. Sometimes they'll provide two cars and drivers, one for you and one for your family. Other times they may not provide anything. It really depends upon the location and what you are doing. For example, if you're going to live and work in Hong Kong and you're going to go into the office every day, they may not provide a car and driver because a car and driver is pretty useless in Hong Kong when public transportation is so easy. And a car and driver would be extremely expensive. Most expat packages will include some kind of insurance, and the insurance can range from healthcare insurance to evacuation insurance, or if you're going to be in a very dangerous spot or location, it might include kidnapping insurance or other types of security insurance for you and for your family. And this will really depend a lot upon the company you're working for, where you're working, and how dangerous the location is or how dangerous they deem the location to be. An expat package usually includes some kind of moving expense. And this could be everything from they're going to load up a couple containers for you and they're going to ship all your household goods and all of those are going to go overseas with you and all of your other belongings. Others may just say, look, we're just going to air freight in so many pounds for you to bring in some extra clothes and your household things and we're giving you an apartment which is completely furnished. It really just depends upon the company that you are working for and what their policy is. Not all expat packages will include all these things, and some local packages will include some of them. So a lot of packages can kind of be a hybrid between these two. Of course, the higher the level your position is in the company and how they deem you to be valuable for their overseas work, the more benefits you will receive. But you know, for a company to bring in an expat, it is expensive. And just imagine, if the school fee is $20,000 per child, and this is $20,000 US, and you have four kids in school, that's $80,000. Housing overseas can be very expensive. You know, all the living and all the extras can be very expensive. So for a company to want to bring in an expat, there has to be a reason for it. And there has to be something that they need you to do. You have to either have a language skill, a leadership skill, or technology skill, or some other skill that they really need you to be able to perform for them overseas. This is why in Asia, over the last 10 years, I have seen a trend in that fewer expats are coming in with the full package. And part of this is really that for many companies, they can now find qualified local staff. And these qualified local staff have usually been educated overseas in the US or another foreign country. Many of them have had some job experiences over there. So they don't see the need to hire some of the expats as they once did. They just don't see the need for the expats to be here when they can save money and save cost. If you'd like to learn more about this, I've written a blog on this called Local Employment Contract versus Expat Employment Contract, and it's on our website, abusonadustyroad.com. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. Please, if you've enjoyed it, take the time and give us a thumbs up, rate it, recommend it to somebody. It really does help. Thank you so much for listening. This podcast is sponsored by A Bus on a Dusty Road, a blog about living life as a global citizen. please go to our blog at abusonadustyroad.com and sign up for our free newsletter. If you've enjoyed this podcast, give us a thumbs up, leave us a review, and help to pass this along. Thank you so much for listening.